Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, writer, poet, and mystic, Kai Carell.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Bettina Morinji. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, speaking of changing, one of the greatest experiences I have, and I just had it recently a couple times with a couple of my clients, is to be able to reflect upon my clients how they used to be. And it's funny how sometimes they don't even want to hear it. It's like, I know, I don't even want to talk about it. And I share how it's important for them to realize not only how they used to be when they were saying they wanted to become like this, now they are like this. They've forgotten how they used to be. Now they want to be something completely different. And so I'm sharing with them that, okay, you will be that. There's a path, just like there was a path to get here. The other exciting part of that is that sometimes they completely forget that that's who they were, or that this is what they wanted, or this way of being has become so much a part of them that they can't imagine their life having ever been any different, especially when we're in a life coaching situation, and then I remind them. And it's a shock to some people, and it's a beautiful place to be sitting there and saying to them, all of this that you have now was in you when you first came. And all of that which you want for your future is in you now, just like all of this was. And so to be able to have that perspective and be able to give that back to each of my clients as we get to the point where that happens, and be able to put a stake in the ground and be able to reflect on, oh, yes, but I'm on to something else now, and completely forget that, A, what we have now used to be a dream of ours, and now we have it. So now we have a new dream. That's fine. But remember that what you have now was always in you. I helped guide. You worked hard to bring it here and find it, and here we are. In the same way, all of what you are seeking now outside of you or in the future is already here. It might be easier to get there if we start from that perspective. So I'm reminded of this, A, because it just happened with a couple of clients. We got to a point where we could have that conversation, and it's always very special. Then also because of one of the many teachings and sharings that our guest does. And so you'll get the connection when we finally get to speak with him. We have Kai Carell here today, writer, poet, mystic, and spiritual adventurer, and musical guest Bettina Morinji, singer-songwriter and music healing practitioner. We're going to experience all this and more on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger on the Life Changes Show. Talk about life changing.
Talk about life changing. You know, I was thinking, listening to the monologue, I was thinking about that jar of jam or jelly or whatever that's really hard to open. you know, and somebody's trying and peanut butter. There you go. Really hard to open, really hard to get open. And you're trying and trying and trying. You give it to that friend and they're like, look, I loosened it, right? But that's the way a lot of our coaches are. They do all this work. It's always been in there, but you know, you loosened it. So
I like that. I'm going to use that from now on. Maybe when they first walk in for the very first time,
bring
like,
in a,
you
here,
are
open
like
this.
A jar. You are like this jar. thank you, Mark.
I'm here to help.
Of course you are, and you do. And actually, we all are, and this is what it's all about. Our guest, again, is a writer. He's a poet. He's a mystic. He's a spiritual adventurer. He is Kai Correll, and we're happy to have him here. Welcome, Kai, to the show.
Thank you so much, Filippo. I'm super happy to be here.
Were you ever like a jar of...
I am always a jar.
Your door is a jar.
My door is a jar.
A-J-A-R. Open. Your door is open. Actually, what a great place to start. Let's talk about doors. You, interestingly enough, where a lot of people have their doors open to religion, the door to religion for you was shut, locked, nailed. Talk to us about that.
You mean my upbringing?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was born in Israel many, many years ago, and my family is very, you know, actually Israel is a very interesting reality, and I won't go too much into it, but it has an identity crisis, because if you tell me that you're American, that's your nationality, does not imply that you're Christian. You can be whatever you want. But when you say Israeli, it supposedly implies Jewish. So there's an identity crisis with the religion and nationality. So when I say I'm born to an atheistic family, still my family keeps traditionally keeps the holidays.
Oh, okay.
But you would say, but if you're not Jewish, then why are you keeping Passover? So there's this confusion thing. But I would say
part of the culture, not necessarily
exactly.
They're following the
religion. But I will say this: that for my family, the fact that I am so religious and so love discovering religion is not very
didn't go over. Very well.
Did not know.
So you not only opened that door, you blasted it open in a sense, because you went after not one or two religion, but you said, "I just want.
I want
them
the
all.
Buffet. I want them all. Yeah." Because, and I'll tell you why, because if after a while you realize that every religion is once, first and foremost, limited and confined to a certain direction. And second of all, not only confined, usually there are many question marks that arise as you practice this religion. Now, what happens when you practice more of them? So imagine it's a puzzle, okay? It's a puzzle of a zoo. That's reality. But if I tell you that my religion is just a piece of the puzzle, so all I can see is the elephants, and I will tell you, life, God, universe is elephants. Mm. All I'm doing is I'm not seeing the other parts of the painting. And then the other person from another religion, no, it's penguins. Of course, it's penguins. But if you even have a little bit of a few pieces from here and there, you start to realize, okay, it's a zoo. It's a little bit of elephants, but there's also penguins and there's also camels. So the more you study, I don't want to call it comparative religion, because it's not about comparison, but the more you study more, you realize that the elephants and the penguins, and they all live together, and there's no conflict, and everything's fine. So I kept on studying religions because...
Except none of the animals want to be in the zoo. Other than that, everything's fine.
So actually, that's actually a good point, because each religion, if you keep on studying, and most people don't like religion, right? No one's like, oh my God, I love it, right?
Yeah.
But if you study what's behind the nature of the elephant and where it's coming from, then he doesn't have a problem being an elephant. He doesn't have a problem of being Jewish, Buddhist. That's not the issue. And then the issue becomes, like you said, the cage. And the cage is what people don't like about religion. They don't have a problem with the zoo. They have a problem with the cages.
Interesting.
But for you to understand that, you need to understand the nature of the elephant and the nature of the religions really deeply, and not be afraid of it. Not think, I'm going to hell, I'm going to heaven. All that conversation had to be completely removed. Once it's removed, something else is born.
Well, speaking of something else is born, this philosophy of yours is born out of not just taking religious studies at a university or going to a church or two or a temple or synagogue. You were 15 years in an ashram?
13 and a half.
13 and a half? Okay. still seems like quite a bit. You walked the path of a Hindu priest. Raja Yogi.
Well, within Hinduism, I have probably all the titles that you can imagine, different yogas, studied Tai Chi for many years, studied Tantra, studied shamanism in many different forms. Mm-hmm. That's actually my main focus at the moment.
Is that curandero?
Being a curandero, yeah. and the different studies within that, from spiritism to mediumship and different, many, many different hats.
Okay. Zen Buddhist meditator.
Yes, that was kind of my beginning. That was where I started, and reading all the time and studying a lot and going to many different places.
So you didn't start with the Orthodox Jewish?
No, that actually came a little later, part of my ashram experience, 4 years of Orthodoxy. And if you'd looked at me, I had black hat and beard and everything. And then a few weeks later, Hare Krishna, so shaved hair. And, So
really, talk about life changes.
Exactly. Really going in all the way.
Well, because you also have a Christian, you studied Christian mystics and Sufi masters and Tantra, Peruvian shamans, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of that has to go against the other.
All of them do, and all of them complement each other in a very beautiful way. So again, if one of those says the zoo is only elephants, it's only because they only have a piece of the puzzle. Hmm. But what's beautiful is that you start to see that every religion defends itself in the exact same way. We are the special ones. We have the truth. So if I practice being a Hare Krishna, and I know that the truth is that God is blue, living on a certain lotus-shaped planet, and that is the truth, and everyone else is wrong, and then I go to a different practice where God is different and everyone else is wrong, so you start to realize that you can't really take everything too seriously, and that I will take what really fits with my experience and what I can learn from. You can learn something from God being blue, playing a flute. And you can learn something from God being everything. And you can learn from God being nothing. So when you remove the fear of the religion from the religion or what it will give you, that you might go to heaven if you practice it or you might not go to hell if you practice it, if you take all of that away, then there's actually something that you can learn. As long as you're stuck with those ideas, there's still nothing for you to learn there. You're stuck. You're just afraid. You're a businessman.
You're a businessman.
Yeah, because you're saying to God, okay, you know what? I'll do this and this and this, but you take me away from hell. It's not an authentic, I want to see what happens to me if I do or don't. There's a price tag.
You're bartering rather than experiencing.
You're bartering. We're not talking about religion at all. This is just business, pure business. And I can say that about yoga and any other practice, meditation. If the end result is that I will be different than what I am, so I will do meditation because it leads to happiness, world peace, spontaneity, whatever. So I'm doing it because there's an end result.
Okay.
Meaning that I'm not sitting where I'm supposed to be. Right? If I'm trying to be where you're sitting, but I'm doing it here, it's never going to happen. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
As long as I'm in a practice, as long as there's an end result, it's meaning that who I am and what I am right now is not okay.
Well, real quickly, because then we're going to break to a commercial and get on to so many other subjects with you. What's the purpose then of doing the yoga or doing the meditation or following certain religious practice?
What is the purpose in you listening to music? There is no purpose. It's an art. It's an experience. It's a form of beauty. It's a form of you experiencing yourself. Meditation, for example, if you're in your mind and all you do is thinking, all you'll be able to eventually do is think. So meditation is a moment where instead of flexing the muscle, you let it relax. So new, more empowering thoughts can come, or something else, silence, relaxation.
Nice. Okay, which takes us right into the art of falling in love with yourself. Looking forward to having a conversation about the weapons of the devil and the tools of the angels, so to speak, when we come back with Kai Carell. And little later on, live music here in the studio on the Life Changes Show by Bettina Moringi, right after we come back, after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Kai Carell. If you want to learn more about Kai, you can go to kaicarell.com. That's KAIKARRELL.com. KaiCarell.com. He's working on a couple books. He does circles. He does all kinds of things. He's got a blog that you could learn from. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about a blog post of his in just a moment. But first, he has Kalimba with him and would like to share with us an improvised musical experience. And here is Kai Carell, live, improvised, on the Life Changes Show, playing the Kalimba. Thank you so much.
That's my
pleasure. Beautiful. Now, that has been a first on the Life
that
Changes
is true.
Show. And Kai, you, before we get into the weapons of the devil and all that, there's something that I loved reading that you wrote about how most of the religions have us look outside of ourselves. And in a way, what I think you're going to share with us reminds me of what I was saying in the monologue, how this was already in this. Like, actually, you said before during the break that the kalimba and being able to play it was already in you. So tell us about seeking outwardly and then being.
Well, with the kalimba specifically, it came as a mystical experience of asking, how can I want to play something? And the experience, the answer was, ask for the confidence that you already know how to. And one of the things that I can say is that a lot of the challenge or what keeps us away from finding is that we are not asking the right questions.
Mm.
If the questions, if you know how to set up the question in a way that you already know the answer is much easier. But if I ask, how do I find something that's impossible to find and I don't know where it is? You know, if I ask you, for example, look around this room and tell me, where are the mics? So you can tell me, here is the mic. But right. If I ask you, look around and tell me where there's a schwinga, why can't you find it? Because you don't know what it is, right? It's a word I just invented.
Is there a schwinga in here?
I just invented the word,
okay.
Right?
Because so, I thought maybe the musical instrument.
No.
Two schwingas.
The idea is this, that most people start their spiritual journey and they're looking for a schwinga. They have no idea what it is that they're looking for.
Mm.
You'll never find it.
Interesting.
See, so you're already setting up the game in such a way that you're not going to find what you're going to look for.
Nice.
People are looking for enlightenment or peace, but it's such a convoluted thing.
What does it mean, right?
Right? But what if it meant that for you to be enlightened means that you are 100% yourself?
Hmm.
How do you go about finding something that you're already there? You see, it's like for you to be Filippo, you wake up in the morning. What do you need to do to be Filippo? Nothing. It's like it's already there. Actually, every step that you're going to take in order to get to be Filippo means that you're walking away from yourself, right? So the religious game in many cases is calling the schwinga in many different ways, giving you a lot of terms and a lot of terminology. So it's a very complicated process in order to eventually find Filippo. You know that story about the old woman that she lost her key in the bedroom. And the lights are off, there's a blackout. So she goes in her house. So she goes to the street and she's standing under the lamppost and she's looking for the key.
Ugh.
And someone is asking, why are you here? Why are you looking for? So I lost my key. And she said, here? So no, in the bedroom. So why are you here? Because there's light. That's what religions are. It's like you lost yourself. Why are you at church? You know, you it's like this, not that, I'm not going in there, but not that you're not at church, but you need to be, why I use that term, fall in love with yourself, because the solution is already at the target. You're already sitting in the target.
Mm.
Now you need to eliminate anything that's actually making you walk away from the center, walk away from yourself.
Speaking of things that one would want to eliminate, the weapons of the devil.
Right. So
nice segue.
Right. The weapons of the devil is a beautiful, it comes from mystical Christianity, and it's a beautiful idea or concept of explaining something that we all know. So there's the trident of the devil has three tongues, right? And each one of them represents a different energy. So we have shame, guilt, and comparison. Most of us know at least one of the three, if not all, right? And when we fall into...
Know and experience all the time,
exactly.
Probably.
Now, the interesting thing about these energies is that they are so interlinked and interrelated that if you choose one of them, the other two are going to follow. So if you live your life in comparison of yourself to others or others to others, guilt will follow, and from guilt, shame. If you indulge in shame, you love to live there, then guilt will follow, and eventually you have to compare yourself to others. So they're all interrelated in this way. And in a way, there's even not a way out. And what's interesting is the first two, shame and guilt, most of us know as uncomfortable situations or uncomfortable feelings.
Hmm.
However, comparison is what we call in mystical Christianity the silent killer, because it's like a ninja. You don't think of it as a negative quality. It just, yeah, of course, I compare and, you know, judge everyone around me. That's a natural thing. That's what the mind does. No, it's not. So as opposed, in opposition.
No, it's not in the sense that, no, that's not natural. We've been taught this.
Programmed how to utilize that, because using comparison leads to a place of evaluation of yourself as a product, meaning that you have a number, you have a price. And you need to constantly put effort into making sure that your shelf life is guaranteed.
Interesting.
So, for example, how you look you know, plastic surgery, whatever, you constantly need to make sure that your value is very high. But what you're failing to see is that that takes enormous energy and that you're actually losing your own self-value, your own self-esteem. Every step that I'm making in comparison to you, and if I'm living my life externally, meaning in comparison to the outside, means that something of me dies. And then eventually I'm just a shell, I'm just a product. And eventually there will be a moment that my value is lost, and then all is lost. You know, it's the end.
When you're playing in that game,
yes,
the devil's game, so to speak.
As shame, guilt, or comparison. Yeah. There are many others, but, you know, let's start with those. Yeah. But thankfully, there's balance in the universe. So in the same time that we have the trident with these three energies, we have the clover leaves of the angels, which are three leaves, which are gratitude, respect, and understanding. And interestingly enough, these three are also intertwined, and they also lead and follow each other. So when you live in gratitude, you get into respect. The respect and gratitude are connected. And from respect, understanding will come. From understanding, you'll get to a sense of gratitude. So this is a constant cycle. But let's talk about gratitude, because gratitude is very, very interesting in all mystical traditions. In the beginning of time, and I'll make this as short as I can. In the beginning of time...
Yeah, you're starting at the beginning of time.
Right. So, yeah.
In
the beginning of time,
be?
There was a truce between the forces of darkness and the forces of light, and they flipped a coin, and they decided who chooses the weapons with which they're going to defeat humanity. So, sadly, darkness was the first to pick, and darkness decided gravity. They said, our force of darkness will be gravity. And then a day later, the light decided, okay, we will choose gratitude. Now, what happened in between? A day in those times is like a million years. Gravity is the force of darkness because you cannot resist it. And even for you to smile, you need to defy gravity. For you to be happy, you need to take an action. You need to put effort. So for you to be sad, you need to do absolutely nothing. Just sit there and wait. The force of gravity will eventually lead you into that sadness. And eventually that actually physically is what leads you to die. The decalcification of your bones and everything else, you eventually will die. However, gratitude is not a material force. Gratitude is a spiritual force. Why? Because it allows you to give meaning to situations that might be very challenging and difficult for you. You can have a very horrible situation and be grateful that you're out of it. And be grateful that it happened and you've learned about yourself. So gratitude, being that it's a force outside of the material realm, allows you to have a different perspective about your life.
You can be grateful for gravity.
You can be grateful for gravity. But that defying of gravity is what causes you to come into bliss and happiness. It's not materially based. It has nothing to do with your product shelf life. It's something else. It's removed from the story. So gratitude, if you're stuck in the three tongues of the devil, gratitude will lead you out. If you're like, I'm miserable, my life sucks, and I just did this and that, you can choose to pause and choose a different meaning and be grateful for that situation. That situation, that choice that you've made to come out of that energy will lead you to self-respect. Wow, I have the power to resist. I can defy gravity and choose a different story. That will lead you to understand yourself. And in understanding yourself, you realize, okay, I have in me forces of darkness and I have in me forces of light. Eventually, using these three forces will lead you to the inevitable conclusion of falling in love with yourself. And that is a conclusion that occurs to you. It's not something that you did. We say change, you know, that you need to do something in order to change. No, change happens. Change occurs. If I ask you, what was the moment that you changed from being a boy into a man? You can't tell me 17 in 3 days. It's not a moment. It happened. Suddenly, oh, I'm a man. And so on. You know, life goes on like this. So spiritual change always happened retroactively, meaning that you say, wow, I used to be really angry. And no longer, that's no longer my reality. It happened to you. There's no moment. It didn't. Oh, I went to that, you know, Toby Robbins workshop and that's it after that. No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So spiritual change is something that's cultivated with gratitude, respect, and understanding. And if you're choosing one of those three, you're out of the other three immediately. It's that simple. It's not a complex situation. It's really that simple. But you have to choose.
I like it. Gratitude. I'm grateful for this. I understood exactly what you said, and I respect everything you said.
And I understand you for doing it.
I love it. Okay. So, well, when we come back, you have ways of helping people see themselves outside of themselves, in a sense. And we'll talk a little bit about that, which is where your next religious experience, so to speak, is taking you. When we come back with Kai Carell, and then we'll have live music here in the studio with Bettina Maringi, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, writer, poet, mystic, and spiritual adventurer, Kai Carell. Learn more about Kai Carell at kaicarell.com. That's kaicarell.com. Now, is this the next phase of your understanding or experience of religion? You're now experiencing Afro-Brazilian shamanic teachings?
Yes, and the beauty in that is that it is not necessarily tied to a specific religion. It does come from Afro-Brazilian Catholicism. However, you find within that experience, and I'm specifically talking about the Umbandaimi traditions, which utilizes plant medicine, and in many of its different forms. This is, of course, practiced in Brazil or Peru. And one of the things that the plant medicines help us is see ourselves very clearly, almost a detached view of who you are, and love yourself fully, because there is no judgment. There's a loving presence that allows you to just look at yourself without comparison, without fear, without shame, without guilt, and accept who you are. That acceptance changes you. You change. It happens. You can't resist it. It just happens to you. That you come out of these experiences and there is a tremendous love to yourself, to the planet, to everyone around you. And from that, you can come back to your religious practice. However, this is direct experience of seeing the universes that exist within you. And it is a live, direct experience that you cannot, you know, even religiously explain.
But from that, can you go back to a humdrum job?
Yes, because everything has context. You realize how important you are in the realm of everything. Oh. And actually, you will realize that everything that you do is actually perfectly amazing. And it's not what you do, is how you do it and what love. And you know what? And it might inspire you. Okay, I don't want this job anymore. And it'll give you the courage and confidence to make tremendous changes in your life, in your relationships, in your family, in your job. Many of us are like, okay, it is what it is. But you might need a little bit of pepper to like, okay, no, I have the power and I can do it and I can change and I have the force to do it.
So technically, that also takes us back a little bit to the three-leaf clover that you were talking about, gratitude, understanding, and respect, because that could be had anywhere, mm-hmm. in any relationship, in any... And actually, it seems to me that when you have that, then that's the moment when that's a good time to decide whether that relationship or that job is for you. Like, if you actually got there.
With those... I will even simplify. Of those three, gratitude is the most important thing. Because gratitude... Basically, what is the opposite of gratitude in a relationship is we start taking each other for granted. Mm. I'm not grateful. I'm not like, oh my God, I have this person in my life. Filippo is my partner. Mm. That's not there, meaning that gratitude is not there. If gratitude is not there, then it means that the other three are coming, right? So it's just a matter of time. If you're not in gratitude, if that's not your baseline, everything else that's going to follow is not going to work.
Well, and then quickly, you are, a citizen of many countries, I take it, in more ways than one. And so you go there and you work with Brazilian or Peruvian shamans?
Mostly Brazilian, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do. And it is beyond incredible. You know what? I have to tell you, I just came back from a month in Brazil, realizing the depth of understanding that they have of the human spirit and the spirit world. And the plants and the forest. And I have to tell you, many times I ask a lot of different shamans, especially the tribal ones, what's wrong with us up there, you know, up north? What's wrong with us? Why are we so depressed? And they always say the same thing. You guys don't have your feet in the ground. Hmm. And they mean that very literally. That, you know, we're walking in shoes on cement and we're very detached from nature. Hmm. And when you go to the villages there, that's... You're in the nature, you're in the forest, you feel it. And every time I go, there's a new, oh my God, we are so removed. You know, we're sitting here in an office. It's so removed from life. And the reminder of plant medicines is really back to nature. Come back to yourself.
Well, so much to learn for sure. And you have learned so much and you are sharing and still learning.
Forever.
And there you go. Good way of putting it. Kai Correll, what a pleasure having you here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I should say thank you to our mutual friend.
Yes.
Will Peterson for introducing
us. Great.
What a pleasure. Actually, he introduced us to our musical guest who will be in just a moment. But before we do that, we've got one of our favorite segments of the show, the Ask Dorothy segment. And Mark, do we have a shout out today?
We do have a shout out. We want to bring a little attention to the good people at caninesupportteams.org. They were founded in 1989 by Carol Rockmore, and Canine Support Teams provides service dogs to increase the ability of someone with disabilities to live independently while simultaneously providing loving companionship. Canine Support Teams is a nonprofit organization made possible by the many people who give their time, energy, money, and love for the purpose of enhancing the lives of those affected by disabilities. Go to caninesupportteams.org. Dorothy, John from San Diego asks, Dorothy, as you know, my wife died 6 years ago, and our three children are very upset with me because I am in a loving relationship with a new woman. Their comments have filled me with guilt and shame. I now have developed a serious skin condition called cellulitis, which stops me from having sexual relations with the woman I love. What is this about, and how can I heal myself?
John, it's good to hear from you again. I believe the answer to the cause of your dis-ease lies in the first part of your question. Your cellulitis is more than likely self-inflicted by the guilt and shame that you have taken on because of your children's comments. All disease begins in our emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies before it shows up physically. According to many of the books on the subject of body-mind connection, most agree that the cause of your condition is stored anger and self-punishment, and the need for forward motion in one's thinking process. So I ask you to examine how guilt in this situation serves you. How does shame serve you? How does your guilt and shame serve your children? Although guilt guilt and shame are powerful emotions. Learning to move past them is an essential step of personal growth that will bring you closer to emotional freedom. Guilt and shame are forms of fear, and this is a good time to choose love of self instead of fear. Do you really need to continue to punish yourself because you have found a new relationship? We are the power in our world, and if we allow ourselves to get upset with others' opinions of us, we are the ones responsible for what occurs in our bodies. So please, dear John, choose to love and forgive yourself for believing that you should be ashamed or guilty because you have found a loving relationship. You can do this by using an affirmation. I forgive others and I forgive myself. I am free to love and enjoy life. I can produce more in my life than I am accomplishing now. I imagine myself as being more than I presently am. I take steps towards my visualized thought image. And John, I know that you are powerful and that if you focus on loving you, your future will be everything you've always wanted and deserve.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you listeners have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. That's askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
You know, I think I shouldn't be amazed. I shouldn't be surprised. And I'm not. I'm just grateful. And I understand and I respect the process. This question came in, I know for a fact, like earlier in the week, if it wasn't even last week, and Dorothy picked it and answered it. And then here on the show, we've talked about with Kai Carell all those things, shame and guilt and gratitude. I love it. I love it.
Life changes.
I love all of you and I love this show indeed. So thank you, Dorothy. And we'll be right back with live music here in the studio on the Life Changes Show with Bettina Moringi right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Kai Carell. Joining us in the studio is Bettina Moringi. She is a singer, a songwriter, a music healing practitioner. Welcome, Bettina, to the show.
Aloha, Filippo.
Aloha, Bettina. That's right. You are Hawaiian by way of Germany.
Yeah.
Okay. How did, I'm sure a couple other places before you ended up in Hawaii.
That's right. That's right.
And then you just landed here. And we're so happy that you're in the studio with us. And we know you're headed back, so we don't have you for long. But what a special moment this is.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here. And again, we thank one of your fans and our friend, Will Peterson, who I hope you have the pleasure of meeting. And I know he'd enjoy meeting you, mm-hmm. as we have here in the studio. You are going to be playing, and you mainly play devotional music.
Right.
Tell us what that's about.
Devotional music.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, yeah, you know, some people asked me before, like, what is devotional music, actually? And I can't really answer that question because I think everybody has to find that out for themselves. Sometimes people think devotional music, it's like kirtan, you know, people who are chanting in front of the statue, and you know, it is considered as devotional music. Mm. So sometimes I say, well, it's more me being devoted while I'm playing music.
Mm.
Okay, so when I play music, I'm connecting to myself, and the devotion is towards looking inside myself and growing and healing and transforming, and then instead of talking about it, I play about it. Okay, and so that's my way of inspiring people to do what I'm doing.
Well, not only do you play about it, but you also do sound healings, right?
Yes.
And what is that like? Is it with the sitar?
It's more with the voice. Mm-hmm. So I am a voice healing facilitator. So I'm a teacher. I'm sitting with people who want to learn devotional songs, mm-hmm. or they want to open their voice, or they have blockages in the throat, which mostly is blockages in the diaphragm. Okay, so I do a lot of breathing, deep breathing exercises, and just get people to free themselves. And then I say it's through the voice, but that's just a little, you know, trying to get them to look inside and be free. Okay.
Wonderful. Now, I'm sitting here looking at you sitting on the floor here in the studio with the sitar, and it's so beautifully ornamented. And then I see your musical partner here, Narayan Das. Welcome to the show. And he's holding a guitar, and it looks almost out of place.
Well,
they actually blend together quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
You wouldn't think so, but yeah, guitar and sitar, and then the style that we're doing it just works well. But Tina took the sitar and adapted it to a contemporary style of playing, which doesn't have anything to do with Indian music, really. Mm-hmm. And so she's created her own style with an Indian instrument that's kind of, how would you say?
Well, why don't we let people hear it?
Yeah.
I've heard it. We've all enjoyed it. But let's hear it. Is there a name to the first piece we're going to hear?
Yeah, we're going to play a piece called Hawaya.
As in the island? No,
almost.
No, I'm kidding.
Almost.
What does it mean?
It is actually very close to that. Yeah, very interesting. Hawaya. No, without the... It's Havaya.
And what does it mean?
Hawaya, Elohim and Hawaya. Hawaya is the, I mean, Kai could talk about that, I think.
Beingness.
Okay. All right, because it's not going to be in English.
No, it's going to be in English.
Oh, it is.
Because
okay.
I thought we're in America, so it's good
nice.
To sing an English song. There's the refrain is in Hebrew. How do you say refrain? The chorus is in Hebrew, a little bit, few words.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a mix.
Well, wonderful. Well, here is Bettina Marinji performing Hawaya live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Together with Narayan Das. It's the sound.
ocean sings a song in the darkness. Then the
like a meditation, a prayer. And Bettina Moringi, if you want to learn more about her, go to maureenji.com. That's moringi.com. That was very beautiful. And you're right, Narayan. The sitar didn't sound like any sitar I've ever heard. And it does work so beautifully together. What is Shalom Aleichi?
Alechem.
Alechem.
Yeah.
Or is that a question for Kai? Or do you know?
Well, Alechem, Alechem means angel, and Shalom means peace.
Ah. Okay.
So.
Very nice. Wow. What an interesting thing. How you have a German background and you're living in Hawaii. You're playing an Indian sitar. You're singing in English and in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And there's so many elements coming together. You and well, Kai. I know you know each other, but Kai brings all these experiences together. And here you are doing it musically. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, yeah, creating our own puzzle.
Exactly, piecing it all together in such a beautiful and unique way. So will we get to hear another piece?
Yeah, we can do another one.
And what is this one going to be called?
This one is called Adonai Ori, and it's in Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
This is Psalm 27.
Psalm 27, yeah.
If you want the English.
Out of the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Adonai Huri.
Adonai.
Adonai Huri.
Ori.
Ori.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. My Hebrew sucks, obviously.
Your Italian for sure is still good.
Right. What is it, actually? I'll say it in Italian. Now, what does that mean?
Adonai Ori means the Lord is my light.
Ah, okay.
Whatever the Lord means.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the light means.
Nice. Well, obviously, there's a meaning to you, and you're going to share that with us right now.
Yeah.
So here, once again, is Bettina Marinci, accompanied by Narayan Das, here live on the Life Changes Show, performing Adonai Ori, live at Studio Noho. So much. Bettina Marinci, accompanied by Narayan Das. If you want to learn more about Bettina, she also has, is it 5 or 6 CDs now?
6.
6, okay. Mm-hmm. The last one came out, and that one's called?
Ceremony 432. And yeah, Narayan and I just completed that recording a couple of months ago.
Very exciting. Yeah. Congratulations. Thank you. Learn more about that at maurenji.com. That's maurenji.com. What a pleasure indeed, and so beautiful to listen to you and have you here in the studio with us. Thank you both for joining us.
Bettina
Maurenji and Narayan Das.
Thank you.
And once again, a pleasure having you here with us, Kai Carell. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. So much fun.
And we should give one final shout out to who technically was our guest producer for this show, Will Peterson. Thank you, Will. Big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you to Douglas Newsom at BBS Radio Network for being our program manager. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, and myself, your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.